This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. In Pakistan, millions of people are starting over after floods swept through that country earlier this year. The World Bank says that direct damage to property and crops will exceed $9 billion. That's a lot of money anywhere, but an incredible amount of money in a very poor country. While most people in northwestern Pakistan have returned home, some parts of the south are still underwater. NPR's Julie McCarthy reports from the badly hit district of Charsada.
The helicopters hover overhead. The prime minister is due to arrive. But the people of Shir Payan, a neighborhood in the city of Charsada, don't pay any attention to the buzzing in the sky. They don't plan to go and see the prime minister because they tell me they don't matter to this government. 50-year-old Kismet Ali is a carpenter. He stands in the still flooded foundation of a house he was building before the floods swept it away. And you're standing here in bare feet and your long trousers that are hiked up, and you're saying, who would let me near him?
Police is there, the army is there, and their fingers on the triggers. They consider me a terrorist. They consider this old man a terrorist. And nobody is allowing the poor man to get close.
And we don't have time to press our rights, Kismet says. We have families to feed. Nearby, children fly kites in a field blanketed with ash and dust, residue from the floods. It's difficult to find a child who doesn't bear some mark of illness, a bald spot, mottled skin. Two women scour the neighborhood to vaccinate against polio. A burqa-clad mother of six marches up to say that politicians are handing out aid unfairly. Wahajid Bibi speaks through an interpreter.
And even now, we don't have any quilts or blankets, and whatever aid is coming here, it goes to the chieftains and these rich people, and then they distribute it among their own people.
This is a theme that we're hearing again and again. We heard it at the start of the floods, and 2 months later, we're still hearing that. Do people feel that the government of President Zardari should be gone? You're saying that people would vote for a dog before they would vote again for President Zardari. As residents of Wajahat's village stack bricks to rebuild the physical damage, across town the government tries to prepare the political damage. The floods that destroyed millions of homes and thousands of bridges and schools also broke whatever tenuous bond there might have been between citizen and government. Prime Minister Yusuf Reza Gilani crisscrosses the flood zone engaged in damage control with the party faithful on hand. Here in Charsada, Prime Minister Gilani distributes ATM cards to a handful of flood affectees who will be able to withdraw the equivalent of $250 in cash. The program has been mired in confusion. That barely gets a mention. The Prime Minister takes questions from the dais and is asked what he would say to those who lost patience over the slow pace of compensation programs. Because of criticism, we took a lot of time to create mechanisms that are transparent, he said. But everyone who lost a house, rich or poor, will be compensated some $1,200, he says. Flooded families are still waiting. Where the government faltered, civil society stepped in. And what the NGOs couldn't do, individuals did for themselves.
He said for a month you couldn't enter these fields because if you did, you'd sink up to your knees, maybe your thighs.
Mohammed Ashraf, a farmer, says he's the only one in his village who was able to replant this fall because he borrowed money. He says the government has given him nothing, and he's not surprised. We're orphans accustomed to weeping, he says. We seem to have parents only when the politicians want our vote. Washington privately worries about the government collapsing under the weight of this calamity. The public pronouncements are rosier. The United States provides nearly $500 million in flood relief. The U.S. helps Pakistan avert a cholera epidemic, erecting dozens of clinics. But in the face of such hopeful assessments, there are the masses who have a very different view of how things are going. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.